plate a potential nugget.
And just talking about habits and awareness, we often hear people talk about the downsides of habit because it indicates some sort of conditioning where we lose control over reactions. But in the book, you talk about building habits with awareness, and you refer to the pointing and calling system that the Japanese use in the train stations. Yeah. I found that absolutely fascinating and thought-provoking. So talk to us about this phenomenon and the implication for us in the way we think about cultivating habits.
Well, so the challenge, and I'll get to the story about the Japanese in a moment. The challenge is that in the beginning, a habit is, it's not, so the technical definition of a habit is a behavior that has been repeated enough times to be more or less automatic. So things that you can do without thinking, brushing your teeth, tying your shoes, etc. But in the beginning, when you're building a new habit, it does not occupy that automatic space. It's a very effortful, conscious thing. And so the problem is that because it's not our automatic response, the moment of action often passes us by. And that's for building a good habit. For changing our current habits, however, they do occupy that automatic space. There's something that we do. There's something that we do without even thinking about it a lot of the time. And because they are so automatic, we often perform them without even realizing it. We're done with the action before we even notice that we did that. Mm-hmm. And so there's this method, which is called pointing and calling, that I think helps raise our level of awareness about our current habits. And once we become aware of our habits, then we can change them. Then we can start to more meaningfully adjust them. So the story, and I actually saw this when I went to Tokyo. If you walk around Tokyo and go to a train station, what you'll see is this interesting pattern where when the train pulls into the station, the conductor will point at like a signal and say the signal is green, or they'll point at the speedometer and say speedometer is 30 kilometers an hour. Outside on the platform, other employees are doing similar things. They're pointing up and down the platform and they'll say platform is clear. The cleaning staff, even as they walk onto the train in between sessions to clean it off, take the trash out, and so on, they'll point at each car and, you know, say car is clean or trash is clear, things like that. And the purpose of this is that for anybody who does the same kind of job over and over again, like a train conductor pulling into the station, it becomes kind of automatic. That, you know, it becomes habitual. And so it's very easy to overlook your mistakes. And so by pointing and calling, by literally physically pointing and saying out loud what you're doing, you're raising the level of awareness of the action. And you people don't use the phrase pointing and calling, but you can see them do this kind of thing all the time in daily life. So, for example, I have a friend who, she'll leave the garage door up accidentally sometimes. And so now every time she pulls out of her garage, she points at the door and says, garage door is down. Or when you're getting ready to go on a trip or leave your house for a few days, you might double check everything and say, I have my keys, I have my glasses, I have my wallet. And you're like touching them in your pockets while you're doing that. And so those are all examples of pointing and calling to try to double check, to raise the awareness, to be aware, more aware of what we're doing. And if you want, you can actually use that same strategy when you're trying to build or break habits. So, for example, if you want to stop snacking, when you reach into the cupboard to get out a cookie or go to the pantry to get out a snack, you could say, I'm about to eat this cookie and I don't want to because I'm trying to stop snacking. And just the act of saying that out loud before you do it might be enough to prevent you from it. It sounds silly. It sounds a little like over the top to do it. But it can be a very useful strategy early on so that you become more aware of your behavior.
I should give you a context of where this question came from. Earlier in the podcast series, I was speaking with Devdutt Patnaik, a thinker who draws lessons from mythology and talks about its application in daily life and in business. I happened to ask him about how we could build habits and what we can learn from mythology. And this is what he said.
See, this concept of habits is a Western idea. It comes Indian. You see, habit is a bad word in Indian philosophy. It's a bad word. Therefore, you are continuous. Another word for habit is conditioned. I'm conditioned to do it. Conditioning. That's a Pavlovian response, right? A dog has a habit of salivating whenever the bell rings. And the West has made it a virtue. Action without thought is habit. Repetitive action without thought is habit. Indian thought is all about awareness. It's all about awareness. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you not doing what you're not doing? And once you're aware, then you realize what is of value to you and what is not of value to you. So you are not in a habit, then breaking habits becomes difficult. And then breaking habit becomes, there are good habits, there are bad habits. Habits are good and bad depending on context. You know, so you will find people behaving in, that's why I always find, you know, when expats come to India, they have a tough time because the habit is suddenly in this new context, they don't know. Because, oh my God, there is no place to run. There is no place to, oh my God, they don't have this thing. Because the habit, right, they become the animal. You have become like an animal. And habit really goes to the lower part of your brain, not the upper part of your brain. And your habit is about avoiding life. You do habits like, it's an addiction.
It's like autopilot.
It's an autopilot. No, and it's addictive. Like I have a habit of writing, but it's addiction. If I don't write, I get withdrawal symptoms, which means I've trained my body to be in pain when I don't do it and to get pleasure when I do it. And I'm not aware of it. I'm just doing it mechanically. So we are an awareness culture. Awareness, 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 not habit culture.
It was interesting to hear James speak about the fact that breaking a habit does not necessarily mean that we become conditioned to it. There is possibly an opportunity to perform the habit consciously rather than by default, thereby bringing it back to our levels of awareness. One of the many things that we could do well to learn from the Japanese. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com. If you're deriving value from the content and want to show your gratitude to the podcast, I request you to pay it forward by contributing to an organization that I'm supporting, Antarang Foundation. It helps thousands of children from challenging backgrounds play to their unique potential. Please visit the Pay It Forward section at playtopotential.com to know more.